Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Dorky Mess Podcast. I am your host, Charlie DeLuca, and with me, as always, is the Immaculate Del Alba and the International Man of Mystery, Corne Hoogeveen. It's been a couple of weeks since we last talked. Not a lot going on with the Mets right now, as the playoffs are still to be decided with the World Series going on between what can only be described as a pretty tough choice for Mets fans, well, at least maybe some Mets fans, with the Phillies and the Astros playing. But like I said, not a lot to talk about in Mets land. But today's show is a special one. It is the big free agent preview, and I hope you guys came prepared. I'm sure Corny and Dell, you guys both came prepared today to talk about the large number of free agents that the Mets have this offseason.
Well, maybe not prepared. We'll see what happens. We'll see. I'll be a wild card today.
We will talk. We will have
yeah,
some different
there's
opinions. So.
a lot to get into for sure with these
Yeah.
here. A very important off season, I think, and one that will see a lot of potential change, maybe, and a lot of, I think, insight into what the team may look like come the next couple of years, actually. So let's get right into it. Lots of free agents here, like I said, with the Mets. And we're going to do this to kind of appease the listeners and tease the listeners a little bit, I think. And start with the cheaper and, people who are kind of on the fringe of the roster, small names, bullpen pieces, bench pieces. Before we get into the much bigger names and the bigger fish that these that our beloved Mets have to deal with this offseason. So let's get right into it, guys. We're gonna do stay or go. I'll ask each one of Dell and Corne what they think in terms of how the players are roster fit and what a potential contract may or may not look like for this plan. I think So just to be fair to ourselves, I think we might be wanting to make this semi-reasonable. Obviously, these Mets are of a different financial standing than we've become accustomed to. But I think that we can all agree that this payroll will not exceed, I would say, probably 325, 350 in terms of the millions place there. So I think in the to the benefit of the sake of the argument, I think we should maybe. I know it's not our money and it's Steve Cohen's money, but let's try to keep this within that general range of financial flexibility. Is that something that we all can agree on here?
Yeah, sure. I think it's tough to predict what the Mets will exactly do in terms of payroll, but we aren't getting Aaron Judge, Jacob deGrom, Justin Verlander all together. So we have to make some choices. Even as Mets fans, we have to make some choices.
Yes, that was the scenario in which I was referencing Corne. So thank you for providing that for us. But yeah, let's get right into it, into the player talk now. So we have, like I said, a lot of free agents to get to. We're going to start with some of the cheaper options. So let's start with someone who I think, to be honest, I had completely forgot about before doing some research for this show in John Curtis. Curtis is a guy who was recovering from Tommy John this season, so obviously did not play at all. Is someone who was only making less than $1 million, was making I think that's the veteran minimum, the 770K for a major league player, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, certainly someone who just a fringe kind of bullpen depth, and someone who can come on the cheap, and someone who I think is an intriguing option as we have a lot of reliever free agents for this Mets team, Corne.
Yeah, Curtis, for me, I think it's obvious that the Mets did make this move last year, knowing that he would miss last year having a having a team option, to me it's a no-brainer that he stays, because the Mets wouldn't have done and make that deal without him being part of next year's bullpen, hopefully healthy and ready, because that's still not entirely sure how he will rehab. I haven't really heard anything about his rehab at all, but it's obvious that he will still stay. So for me, it's an easy one to start. John Curtis is a Met next year.
Yep.
Yeah, seems easy enough. Dell, anything to add?
Yeah, no, I'm also on that. I think, you know, like it's the bare minimum. It's not going to hurt the Mets if they keep him. Worst case scenario, if it doesn't work out, they can release him and not take a huge penalty. So the guy has Tommy John surgery. He had decent relief numbers prior. I mean, he had like some strange, you know, like reliever. He's just a fringe reliever. I'm down with keeping Curtis.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think kind of, you like Jordan was saying, you both were saying, kind of a sell very low risk and potentially you get a serviceable reliever. You know, you can never have too many arms back there. So just, easy just one, I think. Clear,
so. There's a club option on him, so it's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it seems like there's a reason why they put that on there, see how his rehab is going. And when the time comes, pick that up, and we'll see how he fits into the roster next year. So next player, some more kind of makeup. Veteran guy, been around the block for a long time, seems like forever. And that's Tommy Hunter. We've seen him have two separate stints with the Mets, 2021. He came up with the team in a relief role, served as an opener for a couple of games, if I'm not mistaken. And then last year as well, came in the middle of the season to provide some depth to a injury-plagued Mets bullpen there in the summer months. And another guy who missed a large chunk of the season with an injury, I think for Hunter was a back problem that he missed time from. So again, I feel like same type of same sphere as Curtis Hunter is, in that he is veteran reliever, injury history. You get him on the cheap, and you know, worst case scenario, it doesn't work out, and you lose $1 million or so, Dell.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, I don't know. I feel like if we're gonna, we shouldn't keep every single reliever. Otherwise, we would probably have the same bullpen next year, and you know, our bullpen wasn't perfect. I'm okay if they don't if they don't keep Hunter. I do like him, but I'm impartial. So I don't care. I don't care if they keep him. There's just some guys that we need to, like, I feel like we do need to upgrade the bullpen. We can't just go back with the same bullpen. But Hunter, yeah, I guess we'll keep him. That's fine.
Poor Tommy Hunter, by the way, that you don't care.
I don't care. I don't care about Tommy Hunter. He's a great guy, I'm sure. It's just I don't know if the Mets don't keep him, I'm not gonna, you know, cry over spilled milk. I'll move on to the next bullpen.
Definitely, I won't do that when Hunter leaves. But I think you can get Tommy Hunter on a minor league deal. So. The relationship between Tommy Hunter and the Mets was very good. I also believe that he probably got two Phantom IL stints just to get another reliever in there, and he didn't need to be DFA'd or on waivers. I think especially that last one with a couple of days left was a type of thing by the Mets. Just kept him on the roster, and he didn't need to switch places for a week. So that relationship to me is pretty good, and I think he will be back on a minor league deal and that's not so he doesn't get a guaranteed spot in the Mets bullpen, but just be depth. And I mean, Tommy Hunter is pretty solid depth, in my opinion. So I think he stays in the Mets organization.
So that's my thing, Cornet, is that, yeah, minor league deal, I'll take anybody. But I'm thinking of a 26-man roster slot for stay and go. So that's where I'm at. Maybe that's why I'm, you know.
Yeah.
I prepared for this maybe a little bit different because, hey, anybody, I mean, geez, I don't care who they get. They can get Tim Tebow again and put him in the minors. I don't care. But do I want him to take a 40-man slot or, active man roster slot? I don't really think I would for Tommy Hunter.
Oh, I agree. He doesn't he won't make – besides maybe a lot of injuries in spring training, he won't be re-signed to be on the 26-man roster.
Yeah, no, let's certainly hope not, at least. So now let's get into some of the more notable players that played a larger role. And I think we should go into the quartet of trade deadline acquisitions the Mets made. And obviously, you know, we've talked on prior shows about how disappointing in retrospect and in real time that trade deadline was. So we'll go with those four players. And let's start with, I think, the reaction initially to his arrival with the Mets was positive, and then it kind of fickled out for him after the first 6 weeks or so, and that's Daniel Vogelbach. He has a $1 million club option, so again, pretty cheap, and I think, you know, what we talked about before we got into this the stay or go topic was the fact that this is going to have to be a pretty expensive offseason if the Mets are going to want to keep a lot of these guys. And I think bringing back a nice platoon piece, lefty bat off the bench, sort of as that DH platoon from the left side for, you know, what amounts to pennies in the grand scheme of things when your payroll is, you know, over $200 million. Bringing back Vogelbach seems like an easy choice for Steve Cohen and Billy Epler.
Yeah, I think he stays too. I mean, $1.5 million. I mean, he wasn't bad as a Met. He did his job good enough for me against right-handers. And you can go a different way with the DH. You can maybe have him on the bench to be a late inning pinch hitter. So for $1.5 million, like I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, we aren't going to have $20 to $30 to $40 million player at every position. So Fogey, in my opinion, also stays. So I have stay right now.
You're getting up there, Cornet. You better watch yourself.
I think it's easy money, you know, that the Mets saved by bringing him back. I mean, the guy had a 393 on base percentage, and, you know, he does generate a lot of block. He doesn't strike out, you know, at a crazy rate. Cheap guy, which gives you more payroll flexibility to get a big guy, you know, maybe get a Trey Turner. I don't know. If you're paying only Vogelbach $1 million, you can afford the flexibility somewhere else that's a need. So
yeah, absolutely. I'm with you guys too. It seems like one of the more obvious ones in this list of guys, Vogelbach, to stay here. Let's go with what amounted to be his platoon partner at the DH position in Darren Ruff. And this is kind of an interesting guy for me, at least. He's not a free agent this year. In terms of being able to sign with anyone, he is under arbitration for another year, I believe, at $3 million, and then he has a club option. So maybe not someone who is in terms of a free agent stay or go, but someone who I think might be a DFA candidate come the early parts of the off season, Cornet.
I don't think. I think he gets DFA'd after the job he did and not being able to do anything for us. I don't see him staying. Maybe he gets a little bit of a chance during spring training to see what he's got, but I probably believe they will have some, you know, some flexibility from the right side in the DH part, maybe with, you know, a Francisco Alvarez, maybe with three catchers, maybe go another route with a cheap right-handed bat and see if you can get a platoon DH going this time. But I don't think it will be Darren Ruff.
Oof. Yeah, I think what's going to happen with Ruff is he's going to get a spring training invite, give a chance to make the team. And if he doesn't, then I don't know if they'll drop him, but they'll option him to the minors. And more than likely, he'll waive it to, you know, not waive it. Sorry. He will try to become a free agent if he doesn't make the team. So as in the major league roster. So, or maybe they'll trade him for JD Davis and five other pitching prospects.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. If only someone had thought of that. Going to Tyler Naquin now, another guy who was brought over as a bench piece, as a roster depth, but ended up playing a much larger role than anticipated because of the injury to Marte down the stretch. It was, you know, that period where it seemed like the beginning of the end for the Mets, where Naquin was playing every day and really not performing well. His contract is over $4 million for next year. And again, is someone who I think did not really give the Mets and their fans any reason to want or need him back this offseason.
Well, I'll go first with Naquin. It's very simple for me. He goes. He doesn't. I mean, I do like Naquin. I think he was great. He was a good acquisition. But I think we can find another player that would benefit us better than Naquin did or would in the future. So he's a go for me.
For me too. Also, I don't want to get too much into a full roster prediction. So I will tease that there will be a minor league outfielder that makes it instead of Tyler Naquin and do a pretty decent job as well. So for me, no need to.
Oh, come on. You can't tease us. Who you got?
Ooh. I was going to say, this is going
to be. Yeah, it's for next episode, guys. We want to do a full roster prediction next time, so I'm not giving up my full roster right now. That's also nice for the listeners to think about who I think will make the team next year.
I see. It's Halloween, so you're giving us a trick instead of a treat.
Yeah, it's not really Halloween here, so.
Well, as we patiently await, things will replace Tyler Naquin on the roster. Let's go into the one pitcher arm at the Mets acquired at the deadline, who kind of did the reverse Vogelbach, right? Michael Givens started off terribly, came in, I think it was against the Nationals in a blowout game in his first appearance and gave up five runs, didn't even finish the inning. And had a couple more of those kind of outings where people were really questioning his ability to even pitch at the major league level, let alone for a team with World Series aspirations, but did much better down the stretch. Pretty standard middle relief arm, and is someone who also has an option, I believe, at $3.5 million. And that's something that, again, kind of the fringes of the roster, similar to Vogelbach, relatively cheap. And you never have too much pitching, and obviously someone who you can get relatively inexpensively, I think, is a smart move no matter what position they play or how they fit on the roster. You can figure all that stuff out later. The important thing is getting him back on the team after having a good but not great stint after coming over in a trade with the Cubs last season?
I'm going to start with
Michael. Go ahead, Conor. I know he's your guy.
I think he stays. He's been extremely consistent in his career, and even this year, if you look at the full picture, I think he had a under 3.40 ERA. So he's been that type of reliever for years, and I think that's pretty valuable to have someone who is pretty consistent, especially for $3.5 million. Also, this bullpen, we have mentioned it before. Only Smith pitched a lot from the bullpen arms that are on the Mets roster right now. So it's to me a no brainer. I know his numbers as a Met didn't look great, but let's not forget that first outing where he allowed 5 runs. If you take that in his debut as a Met, if you take that away, he had a 2.70 ERA. So I definitely take that. And even if Michael Givens is a veteran, I always feel like a debut with a new team gotta have some nerve. So I would ease on that first outing as a Met and be pretty comfortable with Michael Givens in our bullpen.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I'm not going to go too into it. I think that it'll be a bargain to get given the mutual option. I'm not sure if it's 3.5 mil. I think that's his salary last year. But regardless of what it is, it'll be cheaper. I mean, if it's going to be probably under less than $10 million, which you would expect for a guy of Givens' caliber of an arm. So, yeah, you're saving money. If Given takes it, it's a mutual option here.
Yeah.
Then you have to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because I was going to say it is a mutual option. So there's another guy here who we'll get into a little bit who also has a mutual option. So obviously with Givens, he's an older guy, 32 years old. So depends on what the team and his people think. But obviously I think the Mets should be interested in bringing him back on a relatively cheap deal. So we mentioned Givens in the bullpen there for the Mets, and the Mets, virtually their entire bullpen is a free agent this offseason, as Corney mentioned, and someone who I think a lot of Mets fans have mixed opinions on, and someone who became kind of a put in the forefront of sort of criticism that the Mets brass took for their lack of a free agent or deadline moves, I should say. And that's Joely Rodriguez, obviously the lone lefty in the Mets bullpen for virtually the entire season, and someone who had a very tumultuous up and down year, to say the least. But again, Dell, someone who I think can be brought back relatively cheaply and at of the roster, an area of the roster that I think is going to be something to really look at, and maybe even the main story of this offseason for the Mets, and that's the bullpen.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't think he was a free agent. I thought he was still under for next year, so I didn't prepare for him. But I might be wrong, and if he is, then yeah, I would definitely keep Joely as a lefty arm there. But I think we need a better option for high leverage situation. But Joely did show some flashes of brilliance, and also flashes of just garbage. But I'm comfortable with keeping him there as long as he's not going to be our go-to lefty in a high leverage situation. We got to upgrade that piece.
I also didn't have it on my list, so I'm not sure if he's a free agent.
I'm pretty sure he is. I think his service time is less than 6 years, which I received the mark. But I think he came over from overseas. I think it was the Korean League that he came over from, and so there was some some wrinkle in his contract that allowed him not to have the required I'm not sure all the minutiae of it, but I know that he is a free agent.
I can't remember some of that contract stuff you're mentioning, so you could be right. But if he is a free agent, I mean, I love Joely Rodriguez. He's funny. He seems like such a good dude. He's always smiling in those videos the Mets make. But it's just he, like you mentioned, we need to be better from the left side this year than we did in this season. So I would say go and go out to maybe spend a little more on that lefty, maybe as a lefty setup man even, to have a more dominant arm as a lefty. The only way I would retain him or get him back is when you have a big lefty and you have a spot over for Joely Rodriguez, which is possible with how the bullpen is shaped right now, that you have him a little bit of that lower leverage situation lefty. But I predict he isn't a Met next year.
Yeah, okay. So I think we can all agree on whether – I think we all can agree that definitely an upgrade from Matt spot in the bullpen, that left-hander out of the bullpen, southpaw coming in. Because the Mets, you know, have a lot of lefty hitters in their division and a lot of good ones at that, too, with, you know, obviously the likes of Matt Olson and Bryce Harper. And you know, so I think definitely an area in which the team looks a little bit different next year coming out of the bullpen. And like I said, a lot of free agent relievers for the Mets this year. This next one is someone who had a bit of a lost season last year, missed over 4 months with a shoulder injury, then got COVID in September, and that's Trevor May. He came over before the 2021 season on a 2-year deal worth $7,750,000. So it was a 2-year, $15.5 million deal he signed. And someone who I think, again, this kind of category that we're talking about right now, Cornet, is someone who, if the Mets were interested in, could be brought back relatively cheaply. Givens, Joely Rodriguez, John Curtis, Tommy Hunter. Obviously, there's various levels of and money allocation you'd want to give those guys. But for a team that has a lot of free agents at very expensive positions and could potentially give those players very expensive contracts and probably – will have to give those players very expensive contracts. May is a guy who I think to kind of just add someone to that bullpen who has experience at the major league level, because like you said, Drew Smith and Steven Nogosek are the only two guys who are on the roster right now who pitched more than 20 innings for the Mets last year. May seems like someone 1 year, $4 million, $5 million, kind of what they gave out of Vino a season ago. Seems like a relatively reasonable contract to give someone like May, who had a lost season in 2022.
Definitely, but I still think he goes. I mean, we mentioned it. We need some changes there, and
yeah,
I agree that there are other options that are to me more logical. To stay, and May, I like the guy, but he's getting a little bit older as well, if I'm correct.
Yeah, he's 33, so yeah, 33, 34, yep.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's getting in there. That's getting a little bit on the old side. So I would say for that reason, go and maybe get a little bit of a younger arm. Maybe spend a little bit more than that $4 million for a true setup guy. I think that's part of the plan the Mets have to have a more stable setup guy / closer. Not stable or closer, but the combination.
I don't think May, for what you would have to pay him, it's going to probably be over $8 million, right? Because he made 7.7 last year. So I agree. I do like May. I think that he could be a good arm to have, but last year he was hurt and sick, and I don't know. I think the Mets are gonna want to revamp their bullpen, and May is just gonna no reason to keep him. Get another guy like you've been saying. So
yeah, no, I mean I think him back would be very contingent on him serving what I think this next guy who we'll talk about, Adam Ottavino, was supposed to serve, right? When we signed that Ottavino, it was okay, he's fourth or fifth best reliever in that bullpen. He ended up becoming the second or third, depending on how you viewed it. And obviously was had a great season. But coming into it, I think, if Trevor May is your fifth or sixth guy out of the bullpen, then I think you're okay. But obviously, he is older, and you guys mentioned the fact that you can't just run it back with the same bullpen as this year. So we'll see how that works out. I think he would be someone who would be a very early signing, and someone who is kind of, like I said, more of a depth piece than high leverage situations.
I would add, it's like for me, I see as Drew Smith, who could be a Trevor May. You know what I mean? Like, right. We have Drew Smith, so why do we need Trevor May?
That's a good point. Yep. Yeah, and obviously, they're not going to, like you said earlier, Dalia, they're not going to just resign every single guy and just have the same eight-man bullpen that they did last year, because it wasn't great. Like you said, it did have its faults and its leaks. But let's go to someone who was in large part not part of the issues for the Mets bullpen, and that was Adam Ottavino. And I think this is an interesting one because, yes, he had a good season, but you guys mentioned the problems with May and his age. Ottavino's 37 years old now. He's going to get way more, I think, than the $4 million he got from the Mets this last offseason. I think, obviously, he's older, but you could be looking at something like what Trevor May signed, 2 for $15, $16 million. And I don't know, with the volatility of relievers these days, Dal, that you can afford the other needs that the Mets have to give that type of contract to someone who is unlikely to repeat his successes from this past season.
Oh man, I think I might be the only one here, but I think we need to keep Ottavino, man. That slider, when it's on point, is wicked. I know he's 36, but the problem with Ottavino is that he was being used a lot. Well, at least for me, is that he was used on like three consecutive days. You can't use him that way because he just won't have the same grip on that slider, and it'll be throwing meatballs. But if you look at his Savant number, he's just like, he's got elite stuff still at a 36. And, I think they can get him for – it all depends on how much they can get him for. He's much older. They paid $5 million last year. If they could get him for under eight mils, then sign him for another year if he's willing to take that deal. So that's where I'm at with Ottavino. I don't want to spend $15 million on his arm, what I'm saying. So,
yeah, well, relatively cheap. Is there? I'm just afraid, Cornet, that he might command a multi-year deal after having such a great 2021 season, and I'm not sure that the Mets should really invest more than one for six, one for seven in Adam Ottavino.
I don't think he gets a multi-year deal because of his age. So I also had him at stay for that main reason, because I truly believe that He won't like Dell mentioned, he won't break the bank. He isn't my setup man like he was in 2022, but I think at like Dell mentioned, 1 year, $8 million, you have a solid arm there. Hopefully to keep doing what he did for us, probably with Hefner. He refined his chase rate because that was really low with Boston. And before that, he was also a pretty solid reliever. So in Boston, he was iffy. I wasn't a big fan of Ottavino when we signed him for that low chase rate reason in 2021. But he got that back. So I'm all for keeping Aldofino for a 1 year around $7-8 million deal, and I think that's possible. So I had him at stay.
Oh, good.
No. Okay. All right. I guess I'm outnumbered here. I would think that. I mean, again, I would like Aldofino back. I'm just a little bit nervous about his ability to repeat his successes and what that might mean in terms of how useful he is.
It's okay to disagree.
Of course it is. Of course it is. I'm sure we'll have some more disagreements in the next couple of guys. So let's change it over to the starting pitching side. I want to kind of do this in reverse order of how I think the importance of the player is. So let's move over to the starters. And like the relievers, virtually every single guy who pitched for the Mets last year is a free agent. And actually, we might have skipped over one, I think. To be honest, you can make the argument that he was as important as Adam Ottavino and these other relievers last year. And that's Trevor Williams. He is set to be a free agent and served kind of a pivotal role for the Mets the last couple of years. You know, he came over in that Javi Baez trade, and while Baez didn't necessarily work out with the Mets, Trevor Williams, I think, really was great in that kind of swing man, long man, spot starter role. Really nice outings. He starts when Scherzer and DeGrom were injured. Definitely had some nice outings coming out of the bullpen to pitch multiple innings. And so for a starting staff that has a lot of question marks, and for a bullpen that has a lot of question marks, Dell, what to do with Trevor Williams? Because I think the caveat is here, would he re-sign with the Mets knowing that he probably won't be guaranteed a spot starting five, rotation, I should say, and will he maybe look for a place where he can be guaranteed to pitch every fifth day like he did with the Pirates and the Cubs earlier in his career?
Oh, so that's kind of tricky because the Mets, with the exception of Max Scherzer, the entire rotation is going to be free agents. You know, we have guys like Bill – Peterson, but we still have some empty slots there. Williams, I don't know. I'm indifferent with Williams. I feel like he's a great depth piece. But if he's not, if he wants the starting role, and if, you know, then I don't know. I think we should try to sign him for a cheap, just say get that depth piece. But let him go if he's insistent about being a starter, and if another team's willing to get him, because I mean pitching is gold out there, and I don't know. I guess I'm at go. I'll leave it at go.
Yeah. All right. Corne, what do you think about Williams? Kind of stirs a
man. The guy was so good for us.
But yeah.
He was so good for us, but I'm still going to go with go, and that's mainly because I think. The Mets are going to give Joey Lucchesi every shot to make the team, and I think his best shot is to be that Trevor Williams role.
It's funny you say that, Corne, because I was thinking Lucchesi the whole time, but I was like, no, that's not a real sexy name, but you know,
Williams wasn't a real sexy name too. I remember that everybody was mad when we traded for him. Because that was all we got with Baez, and that wasn't a good trade in the end. But Williams wasn't that sexy guy too. So, I mean, mop up duty. What Williams does a lot of time is fairly easy because mostly the game is a bit out of hand. So he had a lot of those outings where he could just throw strikes and try to get the ball in play soon. And I think Lucchesi could be able to be that type of guy and be a solid solid reliever / mop up duty guy, long man, and he gets spot start. We also know that. So, I think that's we have already have Luke Casey. So,
yeah, I agree.
No need to lose him because if you get Williams for that role, what's Luke Casey gonna do? He's probably gone. And I think with the depth we have, can't really afford a lot of those decisions.
Yeah, no, and we saw late in the season that Luke Casey was rehabbing, so he should be full go come spring training. And I think that Williams, with how well he pitched, will want to propel that into a guaranteed starting role with the team out there. And I'm sure he'll get that. He's a good pitcher and definitely someone who can give a team quality innings in the bullpen or as a starting pitcher. But let's go now to someone who is guaranteed to be a starter, whoever they sign with. Someone who has a caveat here, and that's Taiwan Walker, a $7.5 million player option for Walker, who has been really good for the Mets. Obviously, both 2021 and 2022, much better first half than second half. It was a little bit much more pronounced, I should say, in 2021. But this past season, he did falter a little bit after the All-Star break. The strikeout numbers were down the whole season. But still, a really solid year for a veteran pitcher and someone who is 30 years old, but might not have the same wear and tear as other 30-year-old people his age because he missed so much time with an injury. What do we say? Let's say that he – obviously, $7.5 million for Walker would be a bargain. I question whether or not he will accept that, and I think he might try to get another lucrative contract in free agency like he did when he initially signed with the Mets. But someone who I think is a very important piece, Cornet, for the Mets to kind of rebuild that rotation. As we said, Max Scherzer, Peterson, and McGill are really the only guys who have any sort of experience who are set to return next year.
Yeah, you're good at selling people. Maybe you should do be a free agent agent or something like that, because it's not the first time you tell me, he's going to be good and he's only 30 years old. I still think he goes. He would definitely not take that player option. I think that's obvious. But he will get a nice contract from a team who needs a back end of the rotation starter. And the main reason is another guy we will probably mention in this episode, why I say Walker will go and that guy will stay. So although he has been pretty solid this year, strikeout numbers also to me he's also a bit of a guy that can have a bad year with, if you look at his Baseball Savant numbers, that can catch up to him at some point. So he mostly has a little bit lower ERAs than his expected ERA. So at some point it could catch up to him, and I don't want him on a 3-year deal. I think that's too much risk.
Yeah. Yep. Honestly, maybe this might be unpopular, but so Taiwan Walker's market value right now, it's about $4 million. I'd say give him a qualifying offer for 1 year, 18.4.
It's a qualifying offer is a little bit higher.
Isn't it 18.4?
No, I think it's a little bit over 19. But I like the idea.
19.6, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. But I like the idea. But
because he's going to want a multi-year deal. But I think teams are willing to pay him for a multiple-year deal, given his age, given that, he took a big step up this year from his career. I think him being around Scherzer and DeGrom seems like that's the trend with a lot of pitchers. You put those two guys there and suddenly they're a much better pitcher than they were. So
I think that would be an interesting strategy there to get him on a 1 year deal that's a little worth a little bit more annually. But I think the important thing for Walker too is he finally proved he could be healthy for 2 full years. He had a little bit of an injury problem last year, but in 2022 he pitched 157 innings, and that was really the big gripe on him coming into his Met tenure, is that he never really could be healthy. He had Tommy John, and then was originally with the Mariners, and then went over to the Diamondbacks, was also injured there, and then finally was able to, in 2020, put together a healthy season and parlay that into a good contract with the Mets. And I think, you know, something very similar to the deal he signed with New York, that 3 for 24.5, I think he'll get at least that. He might get even a little bit more in terms of the annual, the average annual value. So I think that he, again, it'll be interesting to see what the Mets want to do in terms of how high they're willing to spend on certain players. But I think Walker can definitely get a 2 or 3 year deal worth almost, you know, $9-10 million in free agency, and it'll be up to the Mets to see if they can match that.
Right. It's up to the market too. There's other, it's not like it's a very deep position this year. So I think his name is very appealing to teams.
Yeah. Let's go into his starting pitcher companion in the Mets rotation this year. That's Chris Bassett. Came over, obviously, from Oakland in a big offseason trade. And Bassett was maybe the most consistent pitcher in the sense that he was healthy all season long. He does have a mutual option at $19 million. But again, this is his first time being a free agent. I think he'll want to try and cash in as much as he can. He's only got this one time. He's older than Walker, 33 years old. So he really only has this one chance to get that big contract that he wanted. 180 innings this year, so you know he's reliable, he's durable. And again, someone who –